It's day two of our Shuso Session, and we're nearing the end of our summer intensive practice period. There's no better time than the present to renew our commitment to diligent practice. I appreciated the commitment form that our Shuso prepared for this Sangho. Its emphasis on the natural world, on letting go and on picking up, seemed to be in perfect tune with our study text, Master Dogen's Bendoa, on the endeavor of the way. One of the questions that Shuso asks us to address is, what is keeping you from wandering at ease? When I read this question, I had a moment of realization. What is keeping me from wandering at ease? What indeed? After reading this for a day or two, I started to just give myself over to the moment, not plotting my escape from a conversation so that I could go do something else, just being in the conversation, not thinking about something as I'm walking to work, just walking amidst the cacophony of 8th Avenue. What keeps me from wandering at ease? What keeps you from wandering at ease? Often, I think it's just force of habit. I spent so many years living with a certain amount of social anxiety that I don't know how to not be anxious around people. I spent so many years living with a low-level anxiety about professional success. I don't know any other way of being. It became ingrained. So where do these habits come from? Well, we can come up with explanations. My upbringing, maybe my DNA. Perhaps experiences in my early life that I responded to in a certain way. A therapist of mine once said that our neuroses are based on a tripod. They're like a tripod. They're founded on three things: our father, our mother, and our distortion. And it really, really makes sense to me, because that element of whatever they brought to the table, we were interpreting it and responding in the best way we knew how. So it's our mother, our father, and our own distortion that lead to our neuroses. What about my success anxiety? Well, my parents grew up in the Great Depression. They drilled into me how important it is to have a job. My father always had two jobs, as long as I could remember. My mother was a nurse. She went back to school to get a teaching certificate and then created the first state-certified program in practical nursing in the state of Pennsylvania. She was working all the time for years. I just remember her always working. And so it was drilled into me, it was ingrained that you have to work. And if you don't have a job, who knows what's going to happen? Of course, in the teachings, we learn that there is no fixed self. We are all simply an amalgamation of causes and conditions. We are the five aggregates: form, sensation, conception, discrimination, awareness. Everything we hear, see, and touch is just an aggregation of things. The flowers on the altar, this house, you and me. We are just aggregates, temporary beings come together for a short time before dissolving into dust. So we have our causes and conditions that form our habits. And yet my habits are not entirely my parents' fault. Certainly from as long ago as I can remember, I was a worrier. As a little boy, a very, very little boy, I was a worrier. And my father, God bless him, noticed it. And he said, when I was worried about something that might happen, that could happen, he'd say, "You can cross that bridge when you come to it." That was his expression, and I carry it with me to this day. He could have said, just this. You can cross that bridge when you come to it. Just this. Shuso reminds us that Dogen's aspiration to spread the teachings and save all sentient beings felt like a heavy burden on his shoulders until he put aside hope to wander about like a cloud. Zen monks are sometimes called onsui, clouds in water. What is keeping you from wandering at ease? It's very easy to look at this world and find much to unsettle us. Climate change. It's very hot here. But it's not hot just here. If you've been following the news, locations around the world with normally mild summers have been experiencing droughts and blistering heat waves this year. It's really worldwide. Siberia, which is as far north as it is, recorded temperatures this summer 40 degrees higher than normal, 90 degrees Fahrenheit. So the world is burning. We read the news. We're entering an election cycle about active efforts to disenfranchise minority and poor voters in a number of states. It makes my blood burn. One of my habits, a way that it's very easy for me to not wander at ease, is I get caught by dialogues in Facebook. Just the other day, someone who I'm very close to posted an article about the NFL players kneeling again at the beginning of a football game when the national anthem is played, which incenses a lot of people. Makes a lot of people really, really angry. And my friend said, simple solution, media just don't broadcast them kneeling. Why are we giving these idiots airtime? Broadcast something positive during the anthem. Duh! And the commentary after that from several other people that are her Facebook friends, that's why I don't watch football anymore. Problem is that society we once knew is long gone. Everything's all going downhill now. Like your comment, though. This is a great example of why I rant so much about the media on Facebook. It is a great example, isn't it? It's an absolutely great example. And I picked this example because both sides are not wrong in this particular debate. Both sides are not wrong. They're just seeing different things. The people who are upset about the football players kneeling feel that they're disrespecting men who have and women who have given their lives in service of this country. And that's a profound disservice to those men and women. And the people who support the football players, as I do, are just concerned about the deaths of innocent black people in this society at the hands of police officers. But these two groups of people today, in this time, in my life, in our lives, cannot hear each other. And that's a tragedy. That's a profound tragedy. So how do we wander at ease in a world that's burning? How do we stay present when a meteor is headed our way? Dogen says, sitting upright, practicing Zen, is the authentic gate to free yourself in the unconditioned realm of this samadhi. Although this inconceivable dharma is abundant in each person, it is not actualized without practice, and it is not experienced without realization. When you release it, it fills your hand. How could it be limited to one or many? When you speak it, it fills your mouth. It is not bounded by length or width. We are fighting our habits, our conditioning. Actually, we're fighting our identity, things that we have identified with our whole lives long. This is why Sesshin is hard. This is why practice is hard. In a normal day, we don't have our attention dialed up to 100%. Someone cuts us off on the road. We honk the horn and scream at them, safe in the knowledge that no one will see us losing our temper. We can't do that here. It's Sesshin. I'm hot. I'm sticky. That person is taking so long to wrap up their Buddha bowls. The impatience that I've spent a lifetime cultivating rises up. Come on! But I can't say it. What I can do is notice it. Where, after all, am I in a hurry to get to? There's nowhere to go. The liturgy's dragging on, and you're tired. But the container of practice makes us stick with it. Why is this so important? I could say because it makes us aware of our craziness, so we can cut it out. But that's only partly true. The honest answer is that we don't know how the container of practice works. Days of sitting. I feel like I'm just as irritated as I was when I started. But then, there's a moment of insight, a moment of peace. Then, I find myself helping someone spontaneously. This practice is mysterious. It's like walking in the tall grasses in the morning after the dew has fallen. Without doing anything, our pants get wet. Dogen was doing zazen in a dark and quiet zendo. He had been sitting for days in Rujing's temple, and he had been sitting for years prior to that, searching for the meaning of this practice. In the stillness of the zendo, Rujing bellowed at one of the monastics, "When you study under a master, you must drop body and mind. What's the use of single-minded, intense sleeping?" And for Dogen, at that moment, body and mind fell away. Zen monks, unsui, clouds and water. What is keeping you from wandering at ease? I'll end with the poem of enlightenment by Chang Chu Chen. In a moonlit night on a spring day, the croak of a frog pierces through the whole cosmos and turns it into a single family.